Hello and welcome back to The Social Disease. I'm Jasper.
And I'm Bridget.
And today we are continuing with season 8. We're essentially finishing up the main episodes. So pretty much all the episodes that aren't Degrassi Goes Hollywood. And so that will include the infamous college plots yet again, but this time featuring Emma, Manny, and Liberty instead of those other guys. And the baby minor niners, Claire, Casey, Allie, and Connor.
Yeah, they're so cute, so small.
I don't know why, but they feel more babies than like Emma and Manny did in like season 1.
Really?
I don't know why. It's like they feel more like children than Emma and Manny were when they were in 7th grade and Claire and crew are in 9th grade.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like, because when you're a freshman in high school, you are 14, I believe.
Yeah.
So I feel like they probably were like 12 or 13 is my guess, unless they like actually aged it exactly right. But Claire and Allie just look so young. And so does Connor. Casey's just tall. I think that's why he like fits in, but they have such baby faces. It's so funny.
Yeah, and I guess maybe it's because these Niners, they don't really have the middle school plots that were boring for Emma and squad.
Debatable. They do have a middle school plot snuck in this season.
Which one?
I feel like they always do a weird vibrator sex plot or a sex plot, and this season they had that.
I wouldn't say that's a middle school plot.
I feel like, well, usually they give the new younger people like a plot like that.
Yes, they do.
But I am fine with skipping middle school. Middle school is so boring and cringy because like, what can you even do in middle school besides, I don't know, drop acid? Like,
it happens. But yeah, we're going to start instead with the college plots because everyone loves those. So let's get them out of the way.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, Bridget, do you want to like Blaze?
My new nickname. Love it.
Yeah, so obviously the college plots are Emma, Manny, and Liberty. We're just going to combine them all because why would we separate them? They're not memorable. But so it starts off with Emma, Manny, and Liberty all moving into Smithdale because Liberty is apparently going to Smithdale now instead of Banting. And it turns out there was like some mix-up with the residence hall because Emma, Manny, and Liberty signed up to room together, but now they're living separately. Emma is very upset about this, and she like fights the residence hall to get them all living together once again. But Manny and Liberty are kind of pissed about this because they made friends with their new roommates. And like they had plans and stuff, so they're kind of miffed at Emma for separating them. And also there's a new guy, Kelly, who gets assigned to their dorm because he has a girl's name and they apparently cannot realize that he checked M on his sex box. This would never happen in real life, but whatever.
We had co-ed dorms.
Well, but you had to consent to those.
I mean, if you like, yeah, if you can pick like a specific dorm where they could put a boy in your room, but like usually, you know,
yeah,
well, you'd like you're agreeing to live in that building to like, you're like, hey, you could have a boy that lives with you. And you're like, all right.
Yeah. But it doesn't just randomly happen where like they mixed up the name, you know?
Yeah.
It's purposeful that like you're living co-ed.
Usually. Yes.
So that happens. And Manny and Liberty have already made other friends, and Emma is lonely and is feeling depressed about like doing all the freshman welcome activities and stuff. And so Kelly kind of helps her get out of her shell and encourages her to do some of the activities, and she has some fun and makes some friends. Okay, next is that Liberty wants to rush a sorority. And so she's initially planning on rushing like her mom's sorority or something, but she gets convinced to rush this other sorority who has like some alumni who are famous or something. I don't really know why she picks them, but we find this out at the end of the episode. But the sorority only really wants her because she's black, and they have a quota to fill to get some funding. And so throughout the whole episode, like, Liberty's getting peer pressured and hazed and stuff, and she's going out of her comfort zone. She's like playing stripping games and being encouraged to hook up with frat boys. There are so many microaggressions that I never noticed before watching this episode this time. It was crazy. I don't even want to talk about it. But at one point, she's talking about how JT got shot and how she got pregnant and gave the baby up for adoption and stuff. So they start thinking that Liberty came from the hood. And so that kind of gives her a leg up against the other Black girl who is rushing the sorority, because Liberty is more disadvantaged, quote unquote. So they want her more, such that when Liberty gets in trouble with the university for like streaking on campus and getting her stomach pumped, they still want her because of her background. And when Liberty finds this out, she rejects their offer. And I don't think she actually ends up joining any sorority. But yeah, that's really it for Liberty. She's like, y'all are racist, bye. And so from there, we then check in with Emma and Manny, who both have a crush on Kelly, even though at some point there was apparently an agreement that there would be no dorm incest between them as a group. And so throughout the episode, they are like fighting over him and like taking quizzes to see like who would be more compatible with him and such. But ultimately they end up walking in on him making out with another girl. And so they are very confused. And when they confront him about it, he says that he cannot like them because they're roommates. That's the rule they made, but that he would definitely be into one of them, which furthers their confusion. But eventually Manny gets over it. Emma does not, because Emma and Kelly begin flirting a ton with each other. And pretty much all the people in the dorm are like, yo, when are you two going to get together? So they decide to go on a date, but they get interrupted with the girl that Kelly was making out with. And she is trying to like get back together with him and such. And Kelly kind of appeases her, trying to be a good guy and let her down easy. But when Kelly is gone talking to her for a while, she assumes the worst, that like he's getting back together with her and that he doesn't like her. So she decides to go home to Toronto and sulk in her parents' house. And Kelly, upon finding out that Emma left, he follows her there and apologizes with a classic guitar out the window. And they officially get together. And finally, Emma is feeling left out in dorm life because she has essentially just become Kelly's plus one, being his girlfriend. And she basically has no friends besides Kelly, Manny, and Liberty. And so she, I forget what starts this, but she ends up smoking with some of the people in her dorm, and they connect when they're high and such. And they're like, Emma is so fun, blah, blah, blah. This kind of convinces Emma that weed is the way to go to make friends. So she makes some weed brownies to pass out at a floor event, and everyone is having a good time. I don't think she accidentally drugs anybody or anything. Everyone consensually took the weed brownies. But one of the girls on the floor is diabetic, and while she was high, she forgot to take her insulin. So she goes into a diabetic coma and gets rushed to the hospital. I'm sorry. But okay. So because this happened, like the campus police or whoever starts searching the dorms and stuff. And when Emma finds this out, she calls Kelly and tells him to get rid of the weed brownies. But literally the second that he leaves his dorm, he runs right into the campus police and gets caught.
Honestly, best acting of this season was that scene.
So Kelly gets caught with the weed. So I don't think he got expelled, but he got kicked out of dorm housing. So he is still a student at the school, but he is no longer living with Emma and crew. And Emma initially is like, oh, I'll turn myself in so that like you could get off and like this is my fuck up. And Kelly's like, well, then you'll just get kicked out too, and that's not good. So that's really it for the College Fox this season.
All right. College, starting strong. Where do you want to start with?
So I was just thinking about Emma's college plots compared to like Paige and Marco and Ellie's college plots. And these college plots are actually college. Like, it's actually dorm life rather than, I don't think Paige, Ellie, and Marco had any plots related to school or anything besides, I guess, Paige dropping out.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I feel like the other college plots were more like academic based. Like, I'm not doing well in this class. Like, I'm part of the paper. Like, that kind of stuff. Where this one is, like, social part. Where it's, like, I'm socially struggling, trying to make friends. Like, the drama of sharing a room. Like, that kind of stuff. So, I feel like that's where it's different.
Well, I wouldn't even say, besides Paige, that Marco and Ellie had really academic plots. Like, yeah, Ellie worked at the newspaper, but that wasn't a class or anything.
No, but I feel like a lot of it's like, I'm studying. I have a lot of work to do. I have a project. Like, a lot of it tied back into like the work that they had to do for school. Like, I have to come back and take this test. Like, it's finals week. Like, that kind of stuff. But because they lived in that house, they didn't need to show any college. They didn't, that was their cop out. They didn't actually have to show the college because you just saw what took place in the house. Whereas this one, they were like, all right, let's actually put them in a dorm. I don't know. I thought it was a little bit better than the other ones, but
yeah, I liked how they made some effort to introduce some new characters. Okay. Pretty much the only character that was new was Griffin with Paige and Squad, right?
Oh, Jesse too.
Yeah, Griffin and Jesse. And those were just love interests. But here, it's like, I don't remember any of the side characters' names, but at least they made an effort to like have familiar faces throughout these college plots. Like, I remember the blonde girl with the bob. She was the diabetes one, right?
Yeah, and she also like rushed the sorority with Liberty too.
Yeah, so like I recognized their faces even though I didn't know their names. So I appreciated the effort. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they even put Kelly in the title sequence.
Right. So, like, yeah, I appreciated that aspect, that, like, the issue with Paige, Marco, and Ellie was that it was very isolated. But here, it's like, there's actually kind of a community. Not that I cared about it, but, like, I appreciate that they made an effort.
Yeah, if they were gonna do a spinoff, they had some other characters that could have added in.
Right.
Whereas, like, even when in Marco and Ellie and them, they had, like, housemates at some point, and, like, you never even saw them. So, yeah, you're right. They definitely put a little more effort into, like, creating a life outside of Degrassi for them.
Yeah, but that's still the problem. It's still separate from Degrassi. So it just feels odd.
Yeah, I feel like it would make more sense if it was like a mini episode, or they just kind of like grouped it and put it together at the end of each episode. But like, there's no point in weaving it in. It doesn't really fit that well.
Yeah, and that's really the problem with all the college plots in general. It's just, it's not Degrassi. And Degrassi is, the school is the heart of the show. So when the characters aren't at Degrassi, that's why it feels off.
I wonder if they were going to try to do some sort of spinoff with it. I don't know.
Well, I know they did a spinoff with Cassie Steele, which was like, it was, what was it called? The LA Complex?
Oh, I didn't know. I forgot about this.
Cassie Steele's character isn't Manny, but it's basically Manny.
That's even weirder.
It's like an aspiring actress type thing.
Oh, okay.
It was a very short-lived show, but it's the closest to a Degrassi college spinoff that will ever exist.
Okay, that's interesting. Maybe I'll find it on YouTube later.
Yeah. So yeah, college plots were still kind of a flop, even if they made a bit more effort with them here compared to season 6 and 7.
But I did think, so do you want to go into Liberty?
Sure.
I feel like the introduction of Greek life is, or at least in my college experience, was very real. Like, I don't know if I talked about this on here, but I was in a sorority myself, and although my sorority did not treat people the way that Liberty was treated, it was also like there were national sororities that did try to meet some sort of quota at some point. on campus. This isn't like a completely like far off plot. Like this isn't something that's like, oh, this never happens. Like this very much does happen, like unfortunately.
I stayed far away from all Greek life. So you're the expert here, but yeah, it does suck that that is a thing that happens.
Yeah, especially because it's like, what didn't make any sense to me was the whole, we only take like one Black person. Like, wouldn't you want to add more diversity if the people fit? That's the whole thing. It's like, obviously they don't want to add more diversity because they're a racist sorority is what it comes down to. And it sounds like they wouldn't take people who aren't white unless they are literally paid to do so.
Right. I thought this was an interesting issue to like bring up because yes, it is important to have diversity and seek out diversity. Like that's why like affirmative action is a good thing. But this sorority and like the girls in the sorority were clearly tokenizing her and they weren't interested in liberty because of liberty. They were just interested in her because she was Black and because she had a tragic backstory.
Okay, I do gotta say, I was like dying when they were like, what is the worst thing that ever happened to you? Because I completely forgot that she had that baby. I thought she was just gonna say like, my boyfriend or like my ex-boyfriend got stabbed, and I would have been like, yeah, that's pretty, but I totally forgot she had a child that she gave up for adoption. I was like, Liberty, we're getting real quick right now.
But also, it felt a little disingenuous when Liberty was talking about it, because she was like, yeah, I gave my baby up for adoption. They were like, oh, was the father supportive? Oh, he got stabbed. And it's like, but those were two completely unrelated events, Liberty.
Well, what did you want her to say? He tried to kill himself?
Like, well, it just felt odd, because it was like she was connecting the pregnancy with JT's death when they were completely unconnected events.
You're so right. I thought the exact same thing, because she easily could have been like, well, he actually tried to sell drugs to support us and then tried to kill himself. And then afterwards, we gave the baby up because he tried to do that, but then he got stabbed.
So. Yeah, so like, I'm not saying that Liberty was feeding into their racism, because she was not, but it was just weird of her to like kind of frame it that way.
Yeah, it definitely fed into their preconceived notions of her, even though that's totally not what happened or what they see.
They just saw a Black girl and they were like, oh yes, we need her.
Yeah, which is like sad, because she definitely saw it along the way too, which was interesting that she kind of was like, yeah, it's not like a big deal. Like, so they asked me to teach them hip hop dances. And like, even though Manny and Emma were both like, yeah, they're definitely being racist to you, she was like willing to put up with it, because she was like, this seems like a good opportunity for me. And like, that's sad, because I don't know, I kind of would have liked her to be like, I'm gonna look into my mom's sorority after that, because obviously like her mom's sorority isn't racist, because, or at least I'd like to think they aren't, because her mom was in it and like I'm sure other people were, and it doesn't seem like they had a quota. But I am glad that she decided in the end to just be like, fuck you guys, and leave.
Yes, I agree. Also kind of sucks that this is Liberty's last ever plot. It's kind of lame.
Is it really? Oh my god.
Yeah, she doesn't do anything after this.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a little lame, but it's also like stand up for yourself kind of plot. So I feel like it's like more important to stand up for yourself than to fit in with the crowd. So I feel like that was at least a good message out of it.
Yeah. And I guess Liberty has somewhat struggled with her confidence throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a decent bookend at least.
Also though, what a freshman for getting your stomach pumped within the first like 3 weeks of college.
I don't know about you, but I've never gotten my stomach pumped, Bridget.
No, me either, but I feel like that's like, what even, how often does that actually happen? Like, we know Liberty, she's been drinking since she was like 12. Like, I don't, I just like was, I don't know, usually never really got that bad in college. I feel like it was pretty rare for that to happen. So I feel like they really were like, what stereotypical things happen in college? There's sororities that are racist. Like, your stomach gets pumped after one frat party. You go upstairs and give your underwear to somebody. Like, that's not what happens, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because also, like, the streaking, it was, like, when you're drunk, you don't just decide to go streaking, you know?
There was a girl in my sorority who did do that, but she wanted to.
Right. So it's not like Liberty's not the person who's sober will ever be like, oh, I'm going to go streaking. So like when she's drunk, she's not going to decide to go streaking because Liberty's not the type of person to ever go streaking, sober or drunk.
Hey, you'd be surprised.
Okay.
It wasn't me.
I don't know, Bridget. What crazy things did you do in your sorority?
None of your beeswax.
I guess the only other thing, or I guess the second to last thing, is like Emma and Kelly as a couple. How do you feel about them?
I really like Kelly. He seems like pretty normal, and he kind of just seems like a guy that like wants to be liked. And I feel like Manny put him in his place when he was like sad that, what was it, Gwen or Gretchen or something? He was like trying to let her down easily, and then Emma left and she was like, not everybody's gonna like you. He just kind of is that guy. He's kind of just like, he's a friendly guy, and like he doesn't seem like a walking red flag, and he just kind of seems like a normal human. I feel like Emma seems crazy compared to him. So that was a weird matchup for me. Like, I didn't think them together really made any sense out of the three of them. I feel like, honestly, I kind of would have liked to see him and Liberty together, but whatever.
Well, it's because Emma is the main girl, so they were like, oh, we need a new love interest for her.
Yeah, I kind of liked him, like, more than I liked how Emma acted in this season, so I think that's why I was kind of like, all right.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't dislike him, but he was just kind of boring to me. Him and Emma are definitely better than Emma and Damien.
Oh, yeah.
But like, all I know about Kelly is that he's charming and he plays guitar and smokes weed.
And he plays frisbee.
Yeah, sure.
That's the thing, too. It's not like he, like, smoked weed a lot. They made it seem like this guy was, like, a pothead. But in reality, he probably just smoked. I don't even know. It didn't come up until he got it as a gift from his weird friend. So.
Yeah, he seems like a casual smoker rather than someone who smokes all day, every day.
Yes, exactly. I did kind of feel for, like, Emma for not fitting in right away socially and, like, feeling, like, as you said, almost Kelly's, I don't know, plus one.
Yeah.
So I'm not shocked that she tried to befriend people by doing something stupid, I guess.
Right. Like, I also had a ton of problems making friends in college, for sure. And I used to not drink alcohol, but then I kind of felt pressured a little bit to drink alcohol to fit in. So this is kind of similar to Emma, but Emma definitely went overboard. She very much overcompensated for not having friends. But you're like, oh my God, weed made me have a good night with some new friends. Let me get the whole floor high.
Yeah, this whole thing was like absolutely ridiculous, and it didn't really make any sense because, first of all, one joint between three people, that's not happening. Second off, the weed brownies, there's like a lot of work and weed that goes into making enough weed brownies to feed an entire floor of people. And I don't think she had the money or the time or the ability to hide the scent of cooking weed brownies for any of this to make sense. And then they try to blame her for this girl who goes into a diabetic coma, which doesn't happen like that either. Does not happen overnight. Does not happen from eating one brownie. You do not forget your insulin. And then they try to make it everybody else's problem.
Yep.
Which it wasn't, because she consented, as you said, to taking the weed brownie. So then it literally got poor Kelly kicked out of the dorm. Emma barely feels bad. She's kind of like, oh no, do you want me to do something about it? And he's like, no. She's like, okay, bye. And then like... The end.
Yeah, it was definitely absurd.
That's the good word.
Because again, like, Emma feeling lonely and isolated is a real problem that people go through. Then mixing that with like an anti-marijuana public service announcement was just very tonally weird.
I think like people really would have benefited from her actually finding a way to socially meet more people. which we thought she was doing when she like joined the Nerf gun thing, and then like she made some friends from there, and I thought it would be fine. But instead they were just like, if you smoke one joint, you will get your boyfriend kicked out of the dorm, and you will actually have no friends, and almost killed the only other friend that you had.
Right. Like,
there's no like how to make friends here. It's like how to not make more friends.
Because like honestly, drugs and alcohol are a way that people make friends in college.
Yeah.
So like for them to kind of demonize that, not that I'm saying that like that's the correct way that you should probably be making friends, but that is like how it works a lot of the time.
And in Canada, weed like is legal.
So always legal?
Oh, I don't know if it was legal when like, this was happening. I'm not sure when, but like if it was legal, obviously it's not legal in the dorms, but like same thing. Liberty drank too much alcohol, she got her stomach pumped. Emma smoked weed, that girl almost died. Like, there's only negative consequences for them attempting to have a normal college experience.
And like, again, like Degrassi is targeted towards teenagers, and there's it like it's also on Nickelodeon, right? So it's not like they're going to be allowed to endorse this.
Yeah.
But the level of consequence that they're showing for these things is way too high. It's like, it could be something smaller. It's like, oh, I was drunk and like I made out with somebody that I shouldn't have. Like something that is embarrassing, but not life altering. Like you had to go to the hospital or you got kicked out of housing.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So Blaze is a whole mess.
Pretty much in the end, Emma had no friends. Her boyfriend got kicked out. And we're just back to square one, it seems.
Right. And this is jumping ahead to season 9, but Emma drops out of college. I forget. She says she definitely was struggling with classes, but I'm sure part of it was that she had no friends.
Yeah. And like, that's something that they should honestly address. Like, it's pretty tough to meet people. Like, I joined a sorority to meet people because I wasn't really making that many friends beforehand. And I was like, all right, last attempt, you know, like last shot at it. And it worked out. If they didn't, you know, make sororities look awful too, what's even left at college? Can't drink, can't smoke, don't join a sorority. I don't know what else you're going to do. Good luck.
Degrassi needs to actually go to college, maybe. Then they can maybe write a successful college plot.
Yep, that's pretty much what I was thinking too. I'm like, did any of these people go to college? Does not seem like it.
Okay, any other thoughts on college?
No, I feel like it wasn't the worst that it could have been, but it was definitely different from the Ellie Marco thing, obviously. And I didn't mind it. But I also feel like, again, we could have done without it and it would have been fine.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's take our bus back to Degrassi.
Nice.
And we're gonna go to the Minor Niners.
Yay!
The babies. Okay, so we're not going to do all four of them together because Allie has a lot. So we're gonna do her a bit separately. So here we're just gonna have a summary for Claire, Casey, and also including Connor's one storyline. So Claire, Casey, Connor, and Allie are all little baby ninth graders in the gifted program at Degrassi. And Claire, like in the first few episodes, she had already befriended Allie and Connor. And like Casey shows up like midway through the first week or something. And he is also in the gifted class, but Claire does not believe that he is in the gifted class because he is wearing a beanie. And so she is embarrassed that Casey is actually in the gifted program. And so Casey ends up teasing her about not caring what people think. Like Claire's like, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. So Casey dares her to sing in front of the cafeteria. And so when she sings a hymn from church, she gets embarrassed when she gets booed off the stage. And she ends up eating lunch in the computer lab for the next few days. But she gets in trouble with Principal Shepherd, the chef, for doing this. So Casey kind of apologizes for embarrassing her and makes her feel a bit better about being a bit of a loser. From there, we go into the vibrator plot where Claire and Allie are snooping around Mr. Simpson's house, which is where Connor is living because Mr. Simpson is Connor's godfather. So he's living with Mr. Simpson so that he could be at the gifted program at Degrassi. So Claire and Allie are snooping inside of Snake and Spike's room and they find a vibrator.
Okay, I cannot believe that this was Simpson. I totally forgot when I was watching this and I was like, ew.
I hope it was new.
It was in the box, but I seriously can't believe that that's what they stole from the room. Okay, anyway, keep going.
Well, they only really stole it because Spike caught them.
I know.
So, like, they had to hide it behind their back, so it's not like they could be like, oh, we found this.
Which is even more horrifying.
Right? So, they end up stealing it, and I think Allie has it at first, and she's like, Claire, take this, I don't want it. And they're talking about it in the bathroom, and Jane, like, they drop the vibrator, and Jane is in the bathroom, and she grabs it, and she's like, masturbating is cool, guys. So, Claire ends up having the vibrator in class, and it ends up going off in the middle of math class. Mr. Armstrong takes it out and gets Claire in trouble for having it. So Claire's mom gets called and the chef is like, you guys got some shit to talk about because I'm not dealing with this. So Claire and Helen Edwards have the talk, quote unquote, about sex. We don't see the conversation itself, but Claire talks about it with Allie afterwards and she's like, yeah, I got a lot of my questions answered. Glad my mom was so cool about it, blah, blah, blah. And she completely burns Holly J when Holly J confronts her about the vibrator in front of the school. And Claire says that maybe if Holly J tried masturbating sometime, she would be a bit nicer. Honestly, iconic. I love it.
Nice.
Okay. So moving on from there, it is the like Valentine's Day type episode. And Claire gets asked to the dance by Casey and Connor. And she initially is like, oh, I do not want to hurt either of their feelings, so I'm just going to go with nobody. Even though she wants to go with Casey. And this kind of comes to a head when they are at a robot competition. And Toby is there. Not that that is relevant, but Toby is like the MC for this robot competition. And essentially, Connor like programs the robot to ask Claire out. So she feels kind of socially pressured to go with him because he asked her in a public setting. So Claire ends up going to the dance with Connor, which upsets Casey. But since Claire actually has feelings for Casey, she ends up talking with him and dancing with him like in the hallway at one point. And this upsets Connor because he's like, you went to the dance with me. Why are you dancing with him? And so she apologizes. And that's pretty much where that episode ends, where neither of them are super content with how this dance ended. But from there, the next episode is that Connor has like a lamp that he's using at his computer desk to kind of help him focus. And the chef comes in and is like, you're not allowed to have this because we need to treat people equally. We cannot blah, blah, blah. He's being an asshole. And so when Claire tries to stand up for him, what does she do? She has everybody in the class bring in a lamp so that like Connor isn't being specially accommodated because everybody has a lamp. It was pretty cute. But the chef gives the whole class detention for this. And while in detention, Allie gets mad at Connor for like kind of tapping his pencil. So Connor pushes Allie to the floor for kind of breaking his pencil and stuff. So Connor ends up getting expelled by the chef for this. And at the same time, some test results come in that say that Connor has Asperger's syndrome, which I do not think Asperger's is like a politically correct term anymore. So from here on, we will just say Connor is autistic. So Connor is like very upset that he got expelled, and Claire like confronts the chef about Connor getting expelled, saying that like he's autistic, like he couldn't help it. Why are you being such an asshole? And the chef calls Claire a little bitch while on camera because he is getting recorded like giving a speech for like Principal of the Year award or whatever. And so Claire, Casey, and Allie conspire to show this recording to the whole school of the chef calling Claire, a child, a bitch. So the chef ends up getting suspended and has to go to some like emotional awareness training, or how not to be an asshole training, essentially. And Connor gets allowed back in to the school, and he expresses relief that now that he has been diagnosed with autism, that he could kind of learn how to deal with it. And he's grateful to Claire for standing up for him. Okay. The final two parts of this are that Casey is trying out for the basketball team with Connor, and Connor ends up finding out that Casey lives in a group home because, for one thing, his parents are in jail, and also he got in trouble in the past few years for stealing cars. So it eventually gets out to the basketball team, like there's some little prick on the basketball team who's teasing Casey about it. So Claire finds out, and she is a bit judgy about Casey being in a group home. And so Casey is a bit insecure about this, especially since Claire is like kind of being a little standoffish towards him at this point. But the episode ultimately ends with Casey getting onto the team, and all of his friends like reassure him that they still think he's a good person, even though he might have had a bit of a rough past few years. This kind of dynamic with Claire and Casey continues for a couple episodes where they're being a bit snappy with each other. And so Connor conspires to get them to make up by kind of inviting them separately to his house and then locking them in the basement to get them talking. This doesn't work at first, but when Connor tells Claire that Casey likes her, even though it was the most obvious thing in the world, she's like, oh my God, I like him too. So she conspires with Connor to get Casey alone, and they have a cute little kiss and they get together. And Connor ends up dancing with this cute little diner girl who we never see again.
Nice. Nice little wrap up at the end. Go Connor. Okay. Casey and Claire. Pretty cute.
They're cute, but they do not have the range of Sean and Emma. I'll say it.
Oh, absolutely not. That's what they were going for. Not it. Eli and Claire, though.
Well, Eli and Claire is when Claire is a little older. So Sean and Emma, like, they have the cute little like first date where they're little seventh graders, right? Mm-hmm. So they were trying to replicate that with Casey and Claire, where like they're both like little babies who have crushes on each other. But true. With Eli and Claire, it's like, it's more mature. So I feel like even though Eli and Claire is the next generation of Sean and Emma, like the dynamic and like the trope is different.
Got it. Yep, it is not it either. I mean, it's whatever. It's weird, but you kind of also see Claire's stereotyping of people through Casey, which I think is kind of interesting because she's very much against people like being mean to Connor and like doing anything to Connor, but like is totally fine with being like, oh, Casey, like, how are you smart? You wear a beanie and a t-shirt. Where like Connor wears the same shirt every day and that's fine. I'm like, I don't understand where your standards are. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, Claire is a bit judgy. I mean, she was a bit judgy of Connor too when he had an episode in the basement, right?
Well, that was fair because he was kind of being violent. So I would also be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, but then like, wasn't Connor's episode there what convinced Claire to not wear her uniform every day?
Yes.
Right. So there was a little bit of judgment there where Claire was like, oh, I don't want to be like Connor. Yeah. She apologized for it afterwards, but Claire was being a little bit judgmental towards Connor at that point.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. She's judgy and she's religious, and I'm not going to say those go hand in hand, but there has been a societal tie together at certain points.
Yeah. Well, just think about Claire's mom, right? At this point, Claire's mom is terrible.
Yes.
So, like, that definitely rubbed off on Claire a bit. Like, comparing Darcy and Claire, like, they're both religious, but Darcy is still judgy, but not as conservative, I guess. Whereas Claire is judgy and a bit more conservative. So that, for example, Darcy was not super judgmental of Spinner, whereas Claire is pretty judgmental of Casey. I think that's kind of the difference there, that Claire, at this point, isn't as open-minded, or at least hasn't been exposed to other types of people.
Yeah, pretty much that, for sure.
Because she went to a private middle school, right? That's why she has the uniform.
That's what I'm assuming, because I feel like they didn't flat out say it. They were just kind of like, you don't have to wear the uniform. I'm assuming she must have went to a private school then before, because why would she have these uniforms anyway?
Right. So Claire at this point is very sheltered, for sure.
Yes.
I'm not saying that's her fault, because that's her parents for not letting her have life experiences. But
oh yeah, absolutely.
That's definitely why she is so judgy at this point when she's just starting out.
Yes. Oh, I also love that in the beginning, like Casey like helped her out or something on the steps. I forget whatever happened. And she goes, I'm here for school and not for boys, which is like literally famous last words, Claire.
Well, Claire addresses that right when she's about to graduate.
Does she really? I forgot.
Yeah, like literally Claire's last episode, she's looking through her diary and she's like, I'm here for school, not for boys. And she's like, oh shit, I need to self-reflect about this a little bit.
That's so funny. I love it.
Yeah. So yeah, big Claire fan at this point, because she has not been overexposed to us yet. But she is very cute. And like, it was obvious that her and Casey were going to get together. So like, they were cute, but like I said, they're not Sean and Emma levels of cute.
I think it all kind of comes to the fact that like, they never really hung out one-on-one. They were always in a group together. It was like super rare to see them, like they never did anything together.
That's a good point.
Like Allie and Casey had more of a moment when she kissed him than Claire and Casey ever did leading up to them dating.
That's a really good point, actually.
I think that's why we were kind of like, we get it, they're friends. And then it's like, we get it, they spend time together in a group, but like, that's about it.
Yeah. Which like, I guess that makes sense as to why Casey is so quick to cheat on her next season.
Casey's just not a good guy deep down when it comes to women. Let's just go with that.
I mean, he's a 14-year-old. I don't expect him to be good at relationships, especially given his past. But yes, he isn't a great boyfriend.
Oh, no. Like, well, no. I mean, you can have a shitty past, but that doesn't mean you treat women like crap, especially if they have your baby and then you cheat on them with your coworker.
No, you're right. It's like the classic, like, that we say all the time. It's a reason, not an excuse.
Yes. I agree. And can we talk about Connor, Casey, and Claire with this dance situation? I really want to talk about it.
Okay, what about it?
Okay, I feel like Claire really fucked this up, but also Connor put her in a shitty position, and we're not acknowledging that just because he has a disability that we don't know about.
You mean asking her out in front of everyone?
Well, here's the thing. She gets both the flowers, right? And like, obviously she wants to go with Casey, but she doesn't want to upset Connor. So like, instead of being like, I don't know, having a conversation with Casey about it, being like, hey, like, I want to go with you, but I'm afraid to upset Connor. Like, I think it would be best if I just went with you both as friends. And then she told that to Connor, things would have like calmed down. But instead she never told Connor that she was going with Casey, which was weird. Cause I figure, wouldn't you want to tell the other person that asked you to go? But Connor didn't even want to go romantically anyway. He yeah. just was like, she was my friend first. And it's like, Claire needs to tell him to knock it off. I think that's the only way he would have realized it. I think Claire needed to step up and like confront him about this, even though it's totally not her job to do this, because I feel like women are always put in uncomfortable positions all the time. And this is just another one, you know? And then she's made to feel guilty about it. And this whole situation just like pisses me off.
No, that's completely fair. But yes, Claire could have handled the situation a little better, but Claire is also kind of shy and has never experienced male attention before. So I don't blame her for not knowing what to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the end, it's just all came down to the fact that like she just needed to be upfront with Connor about just not going. And like, what was she afraid of? Like, obviously his feelings would get hurt, but wouldn't you rather like do that than hang out with him and awkwardly ditch him at the dance anyway. Like, I don't get it. I don't really understand what she expected to happen from this situation.
I don't think she knew either. She was just trying to not hurt anyone's feelings.
Which ended up hurting people's feelings in the end anyway. Yeah, like that basic plot. But I really wish that they had a conversation with Connor about, like, hey, you can't treat women like this. You can't put them in uncomfortable positions where they feel like they can't say no because of how you're going to react afterwards. And they never, like, addressed it.
Yeah, like, it was definitely more of, like, a foreshadowing to his autism.
Yeah.
Than it was, like, oh, we need to hold Connor accountable for his actions.
Yeah, but I feel like you could have done both, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Which, like, stinks, but they don't do that.
Yeah, but at least they frame it in the way that, like, it's clear that we're not supposed to side with Connor.
Yeah, but even then, like, Claire runs away after him and, like, feels bad about it.
Because Claire's a good person.
Yeah, but it's like, should she be having to do that?
No.
No. That's the issue in the end that I have with it. It's kind of like, oh, you have to, like, put up with men doing this because you might hurt their feelings and it's going to be bad. That was just my take on it. I didn't really like it. I wish that they kind of sent a different message, you know, like, you shouldn't have to do anything that you don't want to. Period.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. But it does kind of end with Connor realizing that Claire likes Casey, at least at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's kind of a good contrast for, like, in this episode, he's kind of being an asshole about going on a date with Claire, and then he goes out of his way to get them together. So I think he kind of makes up for it, even if they don't address that he did a wrong thing.
I guess so. I think my complaint is just that they don't address it, and that's really it.
For sure.
I did like the little Toby moment that they had.
Toby cameo.
Yeah, it's so good. It was funny.
Yeah, it felt like they were, like, with the girls that were next to him, it felt like they were trying to do, like, a Big Bang Theory type of thing with him.
It was so weird. It's like, no, these, like, hot girls are not at this bot wars. Like, stop. Yeah. It's not what's happening.
Yeah. Casey and Claire, they're cute. I don't care much for them. And I'm not too mad when they break up next season.
Yeah. I feel like watching it through the first time, I was like, oh, I'm a fan. But now that I'm watching it through, I'm like, there have been so many better relationships that, like, this is not an impressive one to me.
Yeah. Like, they were just trying to recreate Sean and Emma. And they maybe got halfway there, but it's just not the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think part of that is just because Claire is so judgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, Emma, with Sean, she was maybe a little judgy at first, but once she got called out about it, she, like, turned it around pretty quick.
Yeah, because even she was like, I don't want to believe that he stole the computer.
Right.
And then he did, but yeah, you're right.
So, like, Claire is more judgmental of Casey's bad background than Emma was of Sean's. And I think that's probably the big difference between the two couples.
Okay. Sorry if I sound bad, like, saying this. I honestly don't even think Claire was, like, that judgmental of Casey. Like, she had just gotten this information that literally not even a year ago, this kid was, like, selling cars or stealing cars and, like, doing all these bad things. And, like, sure, people change, but it takes a pretty long time to, like, prove that that happened. So, like, her being, like, finding all this information out and him just, like, consistently bringing it up, like, oh, you think I'm a thief? Oh, you think that's, oh, you think, it's like, you're not helping your case by constantly bringing it up. And, like, there's a reason you were hiding it. Is because you did do this. So a more normal conversation would have been like, I acknowledge that I did this. I'm trying to change. Of course, you can judge me for a little bit, but, like, this is not who I am anymore. And instead, he was like, me, 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 the whole time. I was annoyed.
Well, that's because Casey is just so insecure about it.
Yes. Yeah. So literally with Casey being insecure about that and then Claire being insecure about just being a human being, like the two make a great insecure couple together.
Yeah. Because like they don't really explore much with Casey living in a group home this season. They just kind of bring it up just for Claire to be judgy about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more just like a detail about Casey than like something used to develop him at this point. Like they use it more in seasons 9 and 10 for sure. But at this point it's just like, okay, Casey just comes from a bad background.
Yeah. Yeah. And like him living in a group home, but still being like super smart and hanging out with people who, you know, are like nerdy or whatever. I feel like he is obviously trying to like make changes in his life to be a better person. So.
Yeah, because wasn't the whole reason that he was allowed to try out for basketball was because he's been doing well?
Yeah, good behavior or whatever.
Because that's the other difference. Because like Casey's kind of already passed his like bad boy phase, whereas Sean was kind of in the midst of his bad boy phase when him and Emma started.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, do you want to keep talking about Casey and Claire? Do you want to move on to just Claire and her weird sex vibrator plot, or
let's go to the vibrator.
I seriously can't believe that they found it under Simpson's bed. I know I already said this, but like, come on. Horrifying. That's horrifying.
It really is.
I hate it so much.
It's like I just can't imagine if Snake and Spike are like trying to find it, they're like, where'd it go?
That's the thing. It's like, where did it go? And then like all of a sudden your student has it in their bag. Like, you know it's yours. You know what you bought.
It was Armstrong who found it.
Thank God, because like, what? That would have been an awful conversation.
But like, I know you hate the sex plots. I know you do. But I love this plot so much.
Like, why? Tell me.
Only a show like Degrassi could actually pull off a plot like this and have it work.
Yeah, you're right. They did. Honestly, I'll say it. They did a pretty good job. I feel like I give the penis pump one like such a hard time because like, how is that actually what's happening? Like, I don't know. I'm not a boy. But this one, sure. This seems pretty fair.
Yeah. Like, I feel like most other shows would kind of treat it as a joke, but they actually took it pretty seriously with Claire, like actually being curious about what sex is and what a vibrator is and stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the past, but how I kind of view Claire's whole character arc across the years is kind of about the sexual blossoming of a woman through puberty.
Okay, just
that was a very, very strange way to phrase it, but just kind of like the sexual maturity of like a woman. And so like, this is the start of that, where Claire starts off knowing nothing about sex, and then she has the talk with her mom through this really embarrassing situation. And then over the years, Claire has various other sexual escapades or misadventures, like vampire fan fiction, blah, 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 getting pregnant, things like that.
Stressing me out.
So it's just like, over the years, Claire learns more about sex and gets more interested about it. And she doesn't have sex until season 12 with Eli at the end of season 12. So it takes a while. And even over the course of this season, there's like her transitioning from being a bit of a judgy goody two shoes. And then she gradually gets a bit more confident in herself. Like when she gets a new wardrobe, like she stops wearing the school uniform. And when she's like standing up for Connor and things like that. And she's the person who actually makes the first move with KC. So just gradually baby Claire at this point, just like growing up a little bit. But as the seasons progress, it's like, at first it's like she's more interested in sex, like with the vampire fan fiction. And then she gets more interested in having sex itself, like with Jake and Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends with her getting pregnant.
It's so dumb, but you're right. Yes. The ending part is dumb. Like the whole pregnancy thing was whatever. Like that's not Claire.
We'll talk about that soon enough. But yes, we'll baby Claire. Like, of course, there's a ton of shit outside of that with all of her boy drama that happens. But at the end of the day, how I view Claire is just sexual maturity, which I think is pretty cute.
You love it.
I don't want to say I love it because that's a little weird, but...
Well, you definitely don't hate it.
It is a well, maybe not well written, but it's an arc.
Definitely an arc. That's fair. I'll agree. Yes.
Okay. Any other thoughts on the vibrator?
Nope.
Okay. So the last thing here is Connor.
Yes. So coming from like the school side of it, you wouldn't get expelled for this. Like, that would never happen. So Shep expelling him was very much to be like, I don't want weirdos in this school, which they do end up saying, like, in the end of this when he gets recorded saying it. But I do think they're excusing Connor's behavior towards Allie in this, because although it is tied to him having autism, him spitting at her and then full on pushing her and then them trying to be like, hey, that's okay, it's because he's autistic, like, that's not how you should treat the situation.
Well,
like, at least from Claire's point of view.
Yes, Claire definitely was making excuses for Connor, but I think they do address that Connor was terrible to Allie at the end of the episode. Like, they have him genuinely apologize and say, like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yes. And then she even says, like, me too, when he says, I'm sorry, which I thought was interesting because I don't think that was really her, like, accepting the apology. I didn't know why she said me too, to be honest.
Well, she also was antagonizing him at least a little bit.
I mean, I guess she was like, hey, can you stop? And then he, like, didn't stop. Should she have broken the pencil? No. But does that mean you deserve to get spit on and pushed to the ground?
I agree.
I just think that they, like, took the parts of autism that they barely knew and put it into Connor and was like, okay, people who have autism are really, really smart, but they also have really bad behaviors. And it's like, that's not the case. Like, it's different for every single person.
Right. Like, they maybe didn't do a great job of, like, showing the spectrum, which I'm not sure how you could really do that with one character.
Well, I mean, like, it would just, they would have to ask somebody who's autistic, probably. It seems like they kind of just took parts and then put it together. It just doesn't add up for it to be Asperger's, is really what it comes down to. Like, if Asperger's was still a thing, Asperger's is like the least of the autism spectrum, like, these behaviors wouldn't be happening. It would just be, you're a little socially awkward, like, and they kind of took it to a point where they were like, he has Asperger's, which, like, isn't the bad autism, but if he's acting that way, it is different.
Like, I'd say, like, the foreshadowing, quote-unquote, that they did before this episode is, like, how Connor pretty much is for most of his time on the show.
Yes.
So, they definitely amped it up in this episode with him getting violent.
That's, I think, my biggest issue. I think my issue is that they made him violent, and they didn't need to. But they felt they needed to get their point across, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I could agree. Because I feel like Connor, like, throughout the years, I'm not sure how good of a job they do with representing autism, because there's also, like, the infamous underwear stealing storyline. It's like, I really can't comment on how well it was done.
That's fair. I mean, I think that, I know you wrote on their notes that Claire is the white savior. Very interesting. Did not think of it like that. I thought of it as, like, I think she did an important thing to help out, but you are right. I guess it kind of ties into the white savior thing.
Yeah, because this episode is told from Claire's point of view.
Yeah.
Rather than Connor's. So, like, we don't really see Connor finding out about his diagnosis. Like, we hear about it secondhand from Simpson telling Claire.
Yeah.
So we don't really get to see how Connor feels about it, like, as he gets this information. Mm-hmm. And I think the next time we see him is when he has the episode in the basement.
No, we see him because Claire goes and talks to him. Well, the episode in the basement when he has the behavior issues, that's before we find out he has autism. And then Simpson asks Claire to go see him, and then she goes down there and they have the conversation about him having Asperger's.
Okay.
Yeah, because then she like goes over there because Simpson was like, he could really use a friend. And then she's like, I don't know. And then she does like anyway.
Right. Yeah. So like the only thing we really get from Connor's perspective here is that at the end of the episode, he says like, oh, it's a relief. I could learn how to live with this.
Yeah.
So I feel like rather than having Claire fight for him, they could have been Claire and Connor kind of fighting together.
Yeah.
Because it does come off as Claire being a white savior in that she's the one leading the charge to like get him back rather than Connor having any say in it.
Well, I mean, he's also expelled.
Right.
So I don't really know if he would have been able to like go to the school and do anything about it. And also it's hard because like, I really want to agree. Like I want to say that it's like the white savior thing, but also she was his best friend.
Yeah, I'm not like saying it's a terrible thing. I'm just saying in terms of the autism representation,
yeah,
it would have been good to see Connor stand up for himself rather than having his neurotypical friend stand up for him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because pretty much it's like Connor gets expelled and he's just like, I'm expelled. Okay, I'm going home, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I also feel like, although he's smart, they're trying to be like, he doesn't have the social skills or the ability to do that for himself. So that's why Claire's going to do it, which does tie, then that ties into like, what is he then? Like, if she didn't step up, like, would he have ever came back? You know? Right. Or like Simpson, would he have fought for it? We don't know.
Right.
But I do think that her catching the principal on video saying that pretty much like solidified Connor coming back.
Yeah.
Because if she didn't, I really don't know how else he would have came back.
Yeah. I mean, the chef is terrible.
Worst. Oh, yeah. I can't believe that. And like, I get Allie when she was like, it makes it really like teachers and principals are really hard to fire. And it's like, not when they do that. They will be fired for that. Or at least they'd be moved to a different job in the district. They're not going to be, if you get caught calling a student a bitch on camera, like you are no longer principal at that school. That is not happening.
Yeah. And not to mention him hitting on like Holly J and Mia.
Yep, that too. Like, I don't even know how old this guy is supposed to be. Like, I don't get it.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, me either.
But overall, Connor this season, I think he is pretty cute. Like, I really like in the camping episode when he like puts the snake in Johnny's tent for Johnny being an asshole to him. I was like, yes, drag him.
Yes, absolutely. I do also feel like that kind of shows Connor and Allie's friendship. I know we're not like talking about Allie yet, but like they have none. They're not friends. Allie doesn't want to be friends with Connor. Like, she has no interest in being friends with Connor. Like, her boyfriend straight bullied him and she was like, anyway. I hate that too. I hate spiders. I don't want to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
So it really just comes to like Claire and Connor are friends. Casey only starts to consider him a friend when like Connor comes to the group home. But then Connor ruins it for himself by telling everybody that Casey lives in a group home, even though Casey was like, please, for the love of God, don't do that. And then like 1 second later, he's like, well, everybody's gonna be scared of you now because you're a bad person. So.
But overall, I like Connor.
He definitely adds to the plots. That's a nice way to put it, too.
Yeah, because after the season, Connor kind of fades in and out sometimes.
I feel like, I don't know, part of me wondered when they were doing the, like, expel plot and everything, if they had thought about kind of just, like, having him leave after the season. It kind of seemed like it could have went either way.
That would have been really disappointing, though, if he just left.
I'm a little surprised that he made it, like, as far as he did as a character. I feel like they really could have went with, like, Claire was just helping him out kind of way. But they didn't, so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't mind him, like, at all. I think he's fine. I literally think it's so funny that I don't know if he, like, actually liked Claire at any point. But the fact that both Connor and Casey, if they did like Claire, Jenna sold them both.
Oh my god, that's so true.
I was thinking that as like both of them sent Claire roses to the dance, and I was like, Jenna was here, that wouldn't be happening.
Oh my god, Jenna comes in next season.
Oh, Jenna, she is something else.
It's time to shine, Bridget.
I love it. But yeah, okay, sorry. Overall, Connor, not too bad. Casey and Claire could be worse, but luckily it ends, so.
Yes. Okay, let's go on to Allie.
Let's do it.
I don't know about you, but like Claire is the new Emma. Allie is the new Manny.
Absolutely.
In my opinion, Allie is a more important character, at least at first, than Claire is.
I mean, she's more likable, in my opinion.
Well, like, think about Emma in the beginning, or Emma and Manny in the beginning, compared to Claire and Allie in the beginning. Manny didn't really do much until the thong episode. Mm-hmm. And that was season 3. Allie starts doing things right off the bat, and they're more impactful than whatever Claire is doing in this season.
Yeah, I think they realized that introducing two friends and only giving one of them plots is not a very successful way to go. Like, Holly J and Anya, they made Holly J stronger, and Anya was like, kind of, but it's taking a while for them to build Anya up because they barely did anything with her. Where it's like, same with Emma and Manny. We didn't really know much about Manny until season 3, where she got her Craig stuff. But here they're just like, we're starting them both strong. Like, Claire's going to get the like kind of prude plots, but Allie doesn't have to because she's trying to break that stereotype.
Yes. So let's summarize that real quick before we go into it. So Allie's first plot is the camping episode where she has a crush on Johnny and she is trying to flirt with him on the camping trip, and she ends up playing cards with him in his tent or whatever, and like she goes on a walk with him in the woods, so she gets Backwoods Bendari as a nickname. Pretty iconic, I think. But she ends up arguing with Sav over this about like being alone with Johnny because of like their whole family culture and stuff, and Sav having his double standards for like Allie versus Anya, which we talked about in our last episode. And that's kind of how that camping episode ends, where like Allie and Johnny are just kind of spending some time alone together. It's not clear at this point if Johnny actually likes her or not. But in the next episode, Allie ends up getting an anonymous rose who she soon finds out is from Johnny. And we find out that Johnny is embarrassed to like her because she is a niner and he is a senior. And so she kind of confronts him about liking her and he denies it at first. But when they go to the dance, they end up going separately, and Allie kind of finds him at the J.T. York Memorial Garden, and Johnny gives her her first kiss, which at this point, they're pretty cute. I won't lie. But it goes downhill pretty quickly because they are a secret relationship, and when Holly J kind of teases Allie about like, oh, who's your secret boyfriend? Oh, it can't be Johnny DeMarco. Johnny ends up breaking up with her because they were supposed to be a secret. So Allie is pissed that her and Johnny are no longer together, so she starts a campaign to end Holly J's life. And she starts a Facebook group called I Hate Holly J, and the whole school joins. It becomes very popular. There's lots of death threats posted. Holly J ends up getting bullied out of the school, and the police are called because of the death threats. And Allie at first is like, why is Holly J trying to ruin my life? Why is she calling the police? Blah, blah, blah. It actually goes on like a record, I think. Or like she gets some warning with the police where they're like, oh, if you get in trouble again, like you will have consequences or something like that. So she ends up getting convinced by Anya to go apologize. And she starts feeling a little bad after she sees how terrible Holly J is doing. And at the end of the episode, she ultimately realizes that she shouldn't be mad at Holly J. She should be mad at Johnny for not being openly together with her. And that Johnny is the real asshole in this situation. She never really makes up with Holly J, though. After that, Allie is upset because her parents found her school clothes. So what Allie has been doing is that she wears like her more conservative clothes, like on the bus and stuff, and then she changes into her more fashionable clothes at school. But since her parents found her clothes, she's back to wearing her, I don't think they're ugly in my opinion, but they're ugly to her at least. So she ends up getting some clothes from Claire, some of Darcy's old clothes. They have like a cute little fashion show. And Allie gets jealous when people are complimenting Claire on her new look rather than Allie also looking cute. And so Allie is feeling insecure about this, and Casey comforts her and she kisses him and is like, oh my God, what did I do? And Johnny ends up finding out about this little Casey kiss and he gets jealous, but he is still uncomfortable being openly together with her. And they kind of unofficially get back together. It was kind of unclear at this point when they got back together. But in any case, like after a couple weeks of like kind of hanging out again, Allie is worried that Johnny is losing interest in her because he is still not being openly together with her. So she ends up going to the ravine to hang out with him and his friends. She drags Claire along so that she's not alone. Allie is kind of, she's very smart, obviously, so she's able to have an actual discussion with Johnny and all of his friends. So this kind of warms Johnny up to the idea that he can be openly together with Allie. And so they are kind of like making out on the floor at one point, and Bruce the Moose throws some condoms at them. And Allie is like, oh, we should have sex. So they go into the infamous van in the ravine and they have sex, Allie losing her virginity in the process. Allie is very uncomfortable after having sex with Johnny. Right afterwards, she's like crawling up in her bed. She feels kind of gross. And when she's talking to Claire about it the next day, she's like, it wasn't how I thought it would be. It felt weird, blah, blah, blah. And Johnny isn't really sure what to do either because Allie is uncomfortable being around him and uncomfortable touching him. But they ultimately have a really nice, mature conversation about it, where Allie is like, I was not ready to have sex and I do not want to have sex anytime soon. And Johnny accepts that and says that it's fine, that they don't need to have sex again. And Johnny also claims that he is a virgin too, which we will check back in with that next season. But that is how the season ends for Allie.
Ooh. Yeah, that was a lot actually for her. Was why she's like my favorite character.
Big first season.
She really did. She's killing it. So, okay. Allie and Johnny. Johnny's 30? Johnny watched a kid die a few years ago.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it apparently.
And he's a straight bully. But, you know, maybe Allie could change him. Right?
Well, Allie does bring out a softer side in him, for sure.
Yes, that is true.
I want to say that I am inherently against them because of the age gap.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's the worst thing. I do think senior-freshman relationships are always inherently going to be a bit sketchy because the maturity difference is insane.
Yeah.
But I don't think it necessarily is going to be bad. In this case, it was.
Yeah.
but in principle, I don't think there has to be anything wrong with it.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel.
I don't know. I mean, like, it just, this is a first relationship. Like, this just fits all the criteria. Like, you know, you don't know how you're supposed to be treated. So like, if you're treated like garbage, you're like, oh yeah, this is like how it's supposed to go. Like, he's totally not supposed to introduce me to any of his friends or acknowledge my existence because he's embarrassed. Like, that's totally fine. Which eventually she very much does not think that it's fine, which is good. And I did kind of like, though, so after they had sex, she felt a certain way about it. And like, that's completely fair. Like, you can absolutely, you know, have regrets or like have moments where you're like, I wasn't ready. I thought I was ready. I wasn't. Like, that's good. But I feel like it really tied into a lot of how insecure she was about her relationship with him. If they were in a more secure relationship, I feel like she wouldn't have felt that regretful afterwards.
Right. Because she didn't have sex because she wanted to have sex. she had sex because she wanted Johnny to like her.
Yes, because she's like, I don't think he likes me, even though like he said he did. And if there was some communication between the two of them, this all could have been prevented, but there wasn't. So it happened. And I honestly think the way that she handled it with like breaking up with him was fair until they like talked it out. And him, does he not say he's a virgin next semester? I totally forget. What does he say next season? What's his issue? Is he not a virgin? Oh, did he lie?
It turns out he has an STD from another girl.
Oh, that doesn't mean you're not a virgin.
Well, it was before he had sex with Allie.
Yeah, but like Emma got an STD.
I guess so. You wouldn't transmit that through penetrative sex though, right?
Which one did he have? Do you remember?
Wasn't it? Oh, I really don't remember. Was it chlamydia? I think he had chlamydia.
Yeah, I think you can, like, I don't know. Honestly,
well, I think he definitely says that he lied about being a virgin because he wanted to make her feel better. He does say that.
Okay, so that's really what I was asking. I wasn't sure.
Yes.
But in that moment, we do not know that right now. So I did think when he said that, even though it's a lie now that I know, but I think that that was a cute thing to say, and it did make her feel better. And like, if it were true, it would have been nice to know beforehand, but obviously, like, why would he advertise that, you know?
I did like, though, how they really emphasized how Allie is still a child after she had sex, because there's the scene in her bedroom where like she hops into her bed with like all of her stuffed animals, then her mom tucks her in. Mm-hmm. And it like really emphasized that Allie is still very much a child, and she was clearly not ready to have sex.
Yeah.
Not that having stuffed animals means that like you're a child. I still have lots of stuffed animals myself. But
I don't think you're ready to have sex.
But it's just like, it was just kind of showing that Allie was not ready, which I really liked, because I feel like with Manny, like Manny was also in ninth grade when she had sex with Craig. I feel like they didn't really talk much about how neither of them were really ready because there was so much else going on with them. So it was nice to kind of see that like, yeah, Allie wasn't ready because she is still a child.
I don't know. Part of me also wants to be like, you make this choice at any age and you could be ready or not. Obviously, I want to discourage like freshman 14-year-olds from like doing it, but also like it's going to happen. So at least she took the precautions that needed to be taken.
Right.
And it just stinks that the relationship wasn't secure for her, and that was the really big bother in it.
Yeah, and like Allie and Johnny have a ton of chemistry, so like you want them to work. Like I really want them to like be a good couple because they are very cute together. Because like the first kiss scene, that was so adorable, you know, where like they have a little peck. And then Johnny's like, was that your first one? And Allie's like, the next one won't be. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was very cute.
That was so cute. So like, I want them to work so badly, but Johnny just can't get over himself.
No. But I do also think that her and Johnny's relationship kind of sets the stage for the standards that she really has for herself and for men. Like she continuously chooses shitty men over and over and over after this, because I really think that like we know it. She loves the idea of having a boyfriend more than the idea of who she's dating.
Yes.
And like it starts here and it does not end here.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when we first started, we talked about kind of how this first part of Allie's arc ends, where she's dating Drew and the boiler room stuff happens and she runs away. They really played the long game with her starting here.
Yeah, they did.
So, props. Like, they did such a good job with Allie to start off.
Killing it. Killing it with her. I love it. Like, there's just so many aspects of her to, like, talk about. There's, like, her wanting the relationships. And then her, you know, we don't see it yet, but she wants to be cool. eventually. Mm-hmm. And she's super smart, but she also has to dress conservatively for her family. Like, there's just so many things that we learn about her in one season that they like don't give to many other characters to grow them that well.
Yes, absolutely. Because there's also, again, like you just mentioned, her family. There's also the dynamic she has with Sav in the camping episode. So it just all ties together for her.
Yep, this is why she's my favorite. And even though she does make questionable choices, like, do you want to talk about the cyberbullying?
Let's do it.
So we like kind of talked about it in the Holly J one. I gotta be honest. Like, I did kind of root for her at first until she was like, this bitch should die. Because, like, it's fair. Like, she was like, I'm sick of being bullied. Everybody's sick of being bullied. Like, what's better than bullying the bully? Nothing. Until she gets a record for it.
But she realizes this at the end of the episode. She wasn't mad at Holly J. She was mad at Johnny.
Yeah, because, again, if she was secure in her relationship, she wouldn't be acting like this.
Yeah. So she also got a bit of a power trip. Like you said, she doesn't care much now about being popular. I think she cares a lot. Like, that's why she's going for Johnny.
But Johnny's not like a well-liked popular guy.
No, but it's like, it's the senior part of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I'm a freshman dating a senior. That won't make her popular with the seniors, but it will give her kind of a rep with the other freshmen. At least that's how I kind of view it in her mind.
Oh, I was kind of viewing it as just like having a boyfriend in general is cool.
Yeah, that's why she ends up dating Drew later on, because Drew is hot and popular.
Well, yeah, she goes from like getting what she can to Drew, who is significantly hotter than Johnny, sorry, but yeah. It's a fact.
And then the popular thing also goes into the cyberbullying, because she gets a huge power trip. When yeah. People end up liking the group, they're like, Allie, sit with us at lunch. You're so cool. She clearly wants that for herself.
Yes, but she doesn't like vocalize it yet. Like next season, it's very obvious that she's like, I want to be popular.
Right.
So it starts here. I agree. Yeah. I mean, that's all I got for the cyberbullying. I just like, it's really hard for me to feel bad about it, but yeah.
Well, yeah, we talked about this last time. It's like Holly J didn't deserve all that she was getting, but yeah. She deserved a wake-up call. And it shouldn't have been coming from Allie, I don't think.
You don't think so?
I mean, Holly J, she might have done it in a nasty way, but she just made Allie and Johnny's breakup happen that was going to happen anyway, you know?
I think that Allie was a good person for this to happen with, because it just shows that like everybody else has been putting up with it for so long that no one was willing to do anything. And like, this was the first time that Holly J bullied Allie, and she was like, absolutely not gonna deal with that. So I think it kind of was like, it was almost like a new face to it. Like, everybody's already been putting up with it, so Holly J of course is just gonna treat her like she treats everybody else, but didn't think of the consequence of like, oh shit, Allie's also crazy. So now it's bad.
Okay, I get that point as like, that's the impetus for Holly J getting payback, that it was someone new that she was bullying. But yeah, I think they were both in the wrong.
Yes. Yes, they were definitely both in the wrong. There's no one that's like 100% right.
Yeah. Well, because especially Allie thinks when the cops are called that like, oh my God, why is Holly J doing this to me? Like, even when she sees how badly Holly J is doing, she's like, oh, Holly J is putting up an act. So like, mm-hmm. Allie doesn't really realize what she really did, which is kind of similar to Holly J in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you want to go into Allie and Claire?
Yeah. Like, the last thing I want to talk about was them, unless you have anything else to say about her and Johnny.
No, it's just they're a train wreck waiting to happen. That's really all it was.
Yes, for sure. Okay, I just wanted to talk about Allie and Claire, just kind of, as I already referred to, as kind of like the second generation of Emma and Manny.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, Manny started off as Emma's sidekick, for the first few seasons, but Allie and Claire are pretty equal, I'd say. And honestly, I'd say Allie is above Claire in this season just because her plots are bigger.
Yes, I agree.
But in terms of like Allie and Claire's friendship compared to Emma and Manny, because like I was thinking about how Allie kind of starts off making fun of Claire at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't really feel like actual friends for probably the first half of the season. Like I didn't really feel like they actually liked each other until probably like when Claire is kind of helping Allie a little bit after the sex thing.
Yeah, I think they were kind of more of situational friends. Like they're in the same classes.
Right.
They're in the same clubs. Like they're both very smart. But I did kind of think they were like somewhat friends with the vibrator plot. I don't know.
Right. But then Allie gets so jealous when Claire is getting attention over her.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, Emma and Manny's jealousy, the entire fucking friendship that they had existed. So I don't love that Degrassi writers like to make the girls jealous of each other in friendships, because I feel like in a genuine girl friendship, that's not really what happens. So I don't really understand why they keep doing this with like our main friends. But yeah, no, I mean, like, yeah, of course Allie got jealous. Like she spends all of her time trying to look a certain way. And then all of a sudden Claire, like, who can choose to look this way, finally does. And now she's like, all right, great.
Yeah, for sure. But in terms of like comparing their friendship dynamic at this point, Allie and Claire do not have the range of Emma and Manny at this point.
Well, no, because they also didn't know each other until like now.
Yes, that's true too.
Where I think Emma and Manny were friends since what, they were like 5 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it takes them a while to like grow on each other, but that also makes sense as to why Claire was more friends with Connor than she was with Allie, because like, not that because she felt bad for Connor, because I genuinely think she enjoyed being friends with Connor. But even when the Connor thing happens, Casey's like, you literally don't give a shit about Allie. And right. She was like, yeah.
And like Claire is always a bit judgy of Johnny. And especially when they have sex, she's like mortified, you know?
We also know who Claire is. So. Yeah,
yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like Claire at this point hasn't gotten over her kind of I'm better than you type of attitude.
Yes, I would say Claire and Allie are similar to like Darcy and Manny, where like Darcy continuously makes these like awful comments to Manny and Manny still like is her friend.
I don't think Claire ever says anything as bad as Darcy did, but yes.
No, but you can see what I'm saying there, yes, right? Yes.
For sure.
But obviously they like become good friends later on, so.
Yes, except for Claire's bad season 11 era.
Yeah, which we already talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about it already, so no need to bring it up again. But
yeah, I don't know. I think I don't have anything else.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Wow. Go us for somehow making the most boring plots in Degrassi still into a full-fledged episode.
Well, that's because we ended strong with Allie.
That's very true. Anytime we end with Allie, it's going to be a good episode.
Okay. Well, that is it for the main part of season 8. We, of course, are ending season 8 with Degrassi Goes Hollywood.
Yes, which, I mean, knowing me, this could be the last episode for this year, ending on Degrassi Goes Hollywood.
Yeah, probably will be.
Yeah. Well, give me a break. There's some holidays in there in between. Yeah. But I feel like it's a good way to end. Wrap up season 8, end it with a bang, start the new year fresh with season 9.
Exactly.
Yeah, we planned this.
Yes. Kinda. So thank you for listening. We will see you soon for the iconic Degrassi Goes Hollywood. Make sure to watch it in advance. You will not regret it. You might, but I hope you won't. But yeah, see you soon.